This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's the third hour of the show. Amy Marks-Kors and Chris Ranji, and with a lot happening in our national politics, we turn to one of our political experts and the author of the daily newsletter called So What? Independent news creator on Substack, YouTube, and Newsphere. It is Chris Saliza with us on KMOX. He joins us every Monday. How you doing, Chris?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing okay. And at the moment, the economy is not in a recession, but you've seen many people. There was just the billionaire Dario the other day who said he's envisioning something worse than a recession happening to us. The White House today said that is 100% not going to happen. So that was the Economic Council advisor who said that. So, you know, as we sit here at this moment, so much uncertainty. What is the feeling right now in Washington as far as where we are headed?
Well, I think that's the problem. I think uncertainty is the watchword, right? I think people don't know. And when I say people, I mean average Joe. I mean political professionals. I mean heads of companies and elected officials. I mean, I think it kind of goes all the way up and down the chain. I'm not sure anyone knows. I mean, look, I'll give you one very small example. On Friday, the Trump administration announced that semiconductors and some other things that are used in cellular telephones would be exempt from tariffs. But then on Air Force One on Sunday night, Donald Trump said, no, we're going to tariff semiconductors. It's going to happen very soon. That's within a 48-hour period. And I know we've talked about this before on air, which is, I think that everyone just wants some certainty. Now, if Donald Trump puts a 20% across-the-board tariff on everything from every one of our trading partners, I think companies are not going to be happy about that. But they would have an ability to plan for it. And I think what you have right now is a ton of ambiguity, a ton of back and forth. I mean, Donald Trump has gone back and forth on tariffs at least 4 times since he's been in office. I think it might be more than that, but the floor is a 4-time back and forth. I just think that level of uncertainty makes people really, really They don't. They're skeptical. They don't know sort of how to plan. They don't know what to think. And I think that includes the stock market. I think it includes sort of how average people are assessing how Donald Trump is doing in terms of the pandemic. His numbers on that are way down. And I just think he would benefit, and the country would benefit from.
Oh, are you there, Chris? We lost.
Oh, did I lose you?
We lost you for a second, Chris. Oh. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You said
that was when I made my. I was making my best point. I was going to say very quickly. I think that what the country, whether it's companies, whether it's elected officials, whether it's the average person, would benefit from, is some clarity about where we are rowing for the next 2 or 3 months, and we don't have that.
Yeah, Chris. To your point about the back and forth, about a 145% reciprocal tariffs on China, then the announcement being made that smartphones, computers, and electronics would be exempted, and then going back on that and saying, well, they won't really be exempted. The back and forth is what's so confusing. But what I think exacerbates it is that the defense for each decision, the defense for A, the defense for B, the defense for A, are always in terms of absolutes. Last week, Trump's Commerce Secretary defended the 145% reciprocal tariffs on China, including electronics, by arguing that they were going to reshore iPhone production back to America, and it would lead to, quote, the greatest resurgence of jobs in history. And then they cancel it and say, no, this is good. We're canceling it. It's not just the uncertainty. It's that each defense is it spoken of in absolutes and the greatest thing ever.
Absolutely. Trump, so he took off or paused most of the tariffs last Wednesday. Last Monday or Tuesday, about a week ago, he was on Truth Social saying, my policies will...
Let's see if we can put Chris on hold and see if we can reestablish a better connection. That happened a few times today.
It did. But Ranj, like I said, the uncertainty, the back and forth is frustrating. But what should make it completely unpalatable, untenable to people is the way that each position is defended in the strongest terms and then hours later is reversed.
Well, I think
so it's not, it is going to be the greatest resurgence of jobs in American history, or it's not. Because if it is, why did you reverse it hours later?
What the White House might want to do, and this is just from a maybe just an optics standpoint, is have one person who speaks on it. Don't have Lutnick do it and then Hassett do it and then Bessin do it. I mean, you're having all these different people. And a lot of times there is a different message that comes out. So they're not all on the same page. It might help to just have one person handle all of it. And Chris Saliza is back with us. Chris, yeah, we apologize for that. We're having a bit of a connection issue.
I think it's my end. I am not moving. I am standing stock still until the end of this interview.
Is it possible? And Amy and I were just talking about this. And is it possible that maybe the White House just needs to have one voice that speaks on this as opposed to different people who have different ideas?
Well, I mean, yes, of course, Chris, that's exactly what they need. The problem is that is not how Donald Trump does business, right? I mean, it's he sets policy, but he often does it on a whim. And so you have people kind of within his administration reacting to things he says that contradict what he said 2 days ago. And the other problem that you have with having one voice is there are two very clear factions within this White House that Donald Trump knew about, and he's kind of kept both of them on the line. So you have the Peter Navarro and Howard Lutnick, the Commerce Secretary, who are very pro-tariff, and then you have Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, Elon Musk, you know, and a bunch of other people who are like, maybe not. And so I think the problem is, it's like, yes, you want to speak with one voice, but whose voice? And if it is Donald Trump's voice, well, that's a pretty inconsistent voice based on what we've heard over the last 2.5 months. And I think, look, that's always been a challenge for messaging and communicating out of a Trump White House. It was a problem in the first term. It's going to be a problem in the second term, which is he is utterly changeable. He is someone who he's constantly looking for deals. He's constantly looking for leverage points. And that makes it hard to say we're going to consistently say this thing for the next 3 months. He just doesn't do that. And that makes it impossible for anyone below him to do it.
Chris, there was a Cato Institute poll that came out this summer leading up to the election that I think really is illustrative of this bizarre situation we're in now when it comes to jobs in America and outsourcing jobs and which jobs do Americans want. So in this poll, respondents were asked, America would be better off if more people worked in manufacturing. 80% of Americans agree America would be better off if more people worked in manufacturing. 20% disagree. Then they had to ask or respond to another statement. I would be better off if I worked in a factory. 73% of people disagree and 25% of Americans agree, which means people that manufacturing is an American dream, but it's not
for
my
me.
Dream.
Right.
That's right. Can't someone else do it? That's always my favorite. Homer Simpson ran for sanitation commissioner of Springfield in The Simpsons on the "Can't someone else do it" slogan. I always thought, what a brilliant way to run for office. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the problem. You know, and Amy, by the way, on that 80%, do you think we should have more manufacturing jobs in the U.S.? I think people like the idea of it. I think if you said, "Oh, well, how would we do it?"
Yeah.
79.9999% of the people who said that they want to have it would be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's
not me.
That's sort of the issue. It's like, I do think people have a bit of a rose-colored glasses view of, well, remember when we made everything here? Yes, we did at one time do that. I would also argue we didn't have airplane travel. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have global connectivity. We didn't have Amazon. It feels to me a little bit, and I wonder about this, if Donald Trump is kind of trying to put the genie back in the bottle on all of this, which is like, you know, okay, when was America last great? He's offered different answers on that, but he said, you know, his usual answer is the 80s. Okay, well, you know, that's almost 50 years ago, and I don't know that we could go back to the 80s even if we wanted to, and it feels like some of his policies are aimed at trying to do that. It's like, okay, well, let's say we try to rebuild the manufacturing sector. Is that something companies are going to do? Are people, to exactly your point, Amy, are there going to be people who want those jobs? And gosh, it feels to me like the answer to that is probably no. You know, you kind of always want to go back to a golden age that existed in your mind, and you never can. And if you did go back, you probably realize that golden age wasn't as golden as you remember it. So I'm very skeptical, even if Trump's sort of vision for these tariffs, and that vision is changeable, but vision for that tariffs goes through, I'm not convinced that we're kind of like back in the 80s, you know, Bruce Springsteen singing with a bandana in his pocket again. You know, like I'm just very skeptical that's going to happen.
Something like, I don't know if it was 140, I think that was the number, or around there, of Democratic congresspeople are putting together an effort. They want some sort of investigation on whether or not people cashed in during that dip last week in the stock market, and then that sharp rise that happened. And we know some people did make a lot of money off that. And furthermore, there has always been this underlying effort to prevent people in Congress from being able to trade individual stocks as it is. Will that gain more life now after what happened last week?
Probably not, even though I think it's a, you know, Chris, I think it's a giant kind of loophole that members of Congress are still able to do this. I think people don't pay enough attention to it. We've seen it on both sides of the aisle. This is one of the more egregious examples of it, but this is also not new. You know, it is to me a form of insider trading where they may not get a tip like, oh, this is going to happen. But every day they're in committee hearings, they're talking to companies. It's, you know, even a little bit of information, even an inkling, I think has an effect. I don't think they should be allowed to trade stocks at all. I think we do that in lots of places where the job that you have means that there are certain rights that you give up, you know, just to be in a job like that. But remember, who would need to pass something to regulate it? Just want to do that. Congress, by and large, right? They want to pay lip service to it, but when rubber meets road, do they want to do that? It's in the same line as that Congress votes their own cost of living increases. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like it's like allowing you in your workplace to say, you know what, I deserve a raise this year. I don't know that many companies would survive if that was the case, but you know, people, unfortunately, and I really do mean this, unfortunately, people do not pay that close. The average person does not pay that close attention to the goings on of Congress, particularly members of Congress's personal financial situations. And I think because there's not a lot of scrutiny, they will not feel compelled to act and they won't do much. It passed as prologue.
Sign up for Chris's newsletter. It's called So What? He is an independent news creator. You can see him on Substack, YouTube, and Newsphere. You've probably seen him in the past in the Washington Post and on CNN. Chris Ciliza, as always, we love talking to you, and we will do this again Monday.
And I will make sure I have now found a spot in my home that I believe ensures great
reception.
Cellular telephone connection. So I will not move. I
never
will be
leave
here
it.
Next Monday.
Stay there until Monday.
That's my plan.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, y'all.
Chris Ciliza with us every Monday at 11 o'clock here on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This morning on Total Information AM, you may have heard Stuart McMillan's story about Jack Patrick's downtown. And Ronj, we talk about people being downtown, foot traffic, having businesses downtown, places to go. Jack Patrick's been around for, what, over 25 years that Kevin Lease is the current owner. It's been a while that they've been down there. And Stuart McMillan talked with him about what it's like owning a business downtown.
And this place is on, it's right off Olive. It's just a couple of blocks from where we are at Tucker and Olive. So it's right in the heart of that area that the New York Times did the story on the, I forgot what they called it, but like the black hole of our downtown and how there's not much happening.
Well, right. And then it was also, unfortunately, in the news because there was gunfire. I don't know if it was a shootout or just shots being fired at Olive and 10th, which is basically the doorstep of Jack Patrick's. The hot dog lady also recapped the scene because she saw it and it was a bit crazy. So they were in the news. But Stuart McMillan talked to this owner.
The damage is done. You had to have your door fixed.
Yeah, a lot of glass. That'll be a couple grand worth of glass,
A couple $1,000.
Yeah, $2,000 worth of glass probably. Yeah.
Has this happened to you before?
Yeah, it's been a while though. We've been lucky. I've replaced plenty of glass over the last 25 years, but not very often. Maybe once a year, average. This was two pieces of glass, and it's just, you know, you try to get ahead, and then this happens, and you're kind of, all right, let's restart here. So.
Should you really have to factor that into your budget, though, annually?
For sure. I do factor that in, for sure. It's part of the business downtown. I'm used to it now. I'm not going to cry over it or lose sleep over it, but it's just part of being downtown. So.
Do you think that'll ever change?
Man, I hope. It's something we've always kind of dealt with. I think it's just part of being in the city. It's been worse the last couple years, for sure. The streets are a little nastier down here in the last couple years, for sure. But last year was a really tough year business-wise, and that was a big part of it. This year has been off to a really good start. Convention Center is back. You know, they were working on that last year. It's open this year. But the hard part is I don't have a patio anymore. I can't do it anymore. It just becomes a problem every time. Every time I put tables and chairs out there, it's a problem.
They get stolen or broken or worse?
No, it's customers only. I try to go out there and say, you know, it's customers only, you know, and it becomes a fight. And I, you know, I have to call the police, you know, I'm not going to fight with you. And then I wake up, I come in down in the morning and it's covered in trash and everything's turned over and it's not worth it anymore.
Well, you got a pretty good business here. You've been doing it for 25 years now?
26. Just turned 26 on St. Patrick's Day. And I still love it. And we're off to a good start this year, man. I'm kind of hopeful with, you know, the election and all, everything. Maybe things will change. I don't know. Maybe they won't. But I know business is good. It's just the street's kind of hard to deal with right now.
Yeah. And the change you would like to see, what would that be?
I wish, I don't want to say the police, you know, you call and it takes a while. And so I try not to do it. I wish, you know, we get a real fast response, but I understand they got bigger problems than somebody sitting at my tables and chairs. I understand that. But that, maybe just a little more cleanup on the streets, you know, the basic stuff, trash, basic stuff that just hasn't been happening for a while. And, you know, I'm not going to blame anybody. I just, you know, like I said, I just try to take care of the inside here. And the outside is just something I have to deal with. But, you know, everybody's dealing with it. Schnucks is dealing with it down the street. You know, I know they have a problem with, you know, panhandling and that kind of stuff. And I you know, I don't want them to leave. I need them here. You know, the more the merrier down here is what we need. And there's not a lot of people down here right now. You know, in my neck of the woods, I'm kind of on an island here.
More competition is good.
I miss Bailey's. The more the merrier. I don't want to be the only guy down here. I really don't. Becomes a destination because every place is not for every person. And so you got a little variety. We all kind of feed off each other.
Yeah. So he mentioned Bailey's Range, which was, it used to be directly across the street from where Jack Patrick's is. So if you've been to Bailey's, you know where Jack's is.
And there is a story on KMOX.com, a little bit more information. You can read the story that KMOX reporter Stuart McMillan put up on KMOX.com right there on the main page. It's interesting, Ronj, a lot of emotions. We have Robert watching on the StreamYard said, once a year average, that's not right, referring to the fact that he accounts into his budget the windows being broken into once a year. A bummer about the patio, because a downtown patio adds to the ambiance of having people on the street. It's interesting, mixed emotions, because Kevin, the owner, seems pretty positive and upbeat. I feel a little discouraged by what he has to deal with.
Well, I mean, there are people who don't want to deal with being downtown. It's good to know that there are those who want to stick it out, who want to be in the city and want the city to do well. And all the problems that he is facing right now, the direct or indirect cause of it is that there just isn't much down there. If there were more business, more people, more anything going on in that part of the city, then he probably would not be seeing the issues that he's seeing. And that's the sad part, but it's what we talk about downtown all the time. We're always discussing that. There just isn't much going on. Not enough people down
here. We'll see if it changes or gets better with the new mayor. Like he said, it's been worse the past few years for him. It's been worse. So he's hoping to see a turnaround with Mayor Kara Spencer.
So we screwed up the Mott's Madness tournament. We did, because we were neglectful. However, there was a winner. It was Alfonso's in Troy, Illinois. And Joe and Mike Pellucci are here from that restaurant. We're going to talk to them next on KMOX. We had another very successful tournament, and we screwed up another thing, as we tend to do here on the Chris and Amy
but
show.
But I think it worked out.
It always, I just
the
want
very, very best.
Just people need to know that we don't do this on purpose.
We're just incompetent and occasionally negligent, attention to detail. But what happens is, it all shakes out in the end to
That's
the
right.
way it's supposed to be.
It always works out in our favor somehow.
It does.
But there is a new tournament, because
the pizza always lands pepperoni side up.
It really does.
That's what they say.
There is a new tournament that we are doing, because we screwed up that one. In honor of our negligence, we are doing the Tournament of Negligence. So if you want to participate and vote, it is on our Twitter account, at Chris Amy KMOX. So the winner of our Mott's Madness tournament, as you may have heard, is Alfonso's in Troy, Illinois. We have the champions.
We have the champions.
And here's what happened for people who are just tuning in. We had Alfonso's in the tournament, and then a couple of days in, a listener said, well, do you mean Alfonso's in Carrollton? And I said, what's that? Didn't know there was one. Completely unrelated with the Alfonso's in Troy. And that's the one that ended up winning. So,
and then
we have,
people were commenting back and forth about Carrollton or Troy. And so then we had the Alfonso's with the S and the Z.
Yeah, well, you know, we didn't even know it was spelled differently.
Yeah.
Again, negligence.
It was our fault.
So the owners and the operators of Alfonso's in Troy, Mike and Joe Pellucci, are with us in studio. Guys, how are you?
Hey, we're doing great.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, here's what we were told by people who texted in. I don't know how many people texted in and said, Joe is the nicest person ever. Mike is the nicest person ever. So far, you guys are both very nice.
So far, they are the nicest people ever. They're 100% the nicest people I've talked to today.
Hey, we're trying. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, like, look who I'm with.
Oh, my gosh. You guys always bring all the good positive vibes. You make our day every day we listen to you. But we're honored to be here, you guys. Thank you so much.
How far in the tournament were we, by the time you guys kind of realized what was going on? Because we didn't tell anybody that we were doing this tournament. We just do it. So when did you guys first start hearing, wait a minute, are we in a tournament?
So pretty early on, I hope you don't mind. Greg Schweikert, one of our good friends that used to actually work for us back in the day, was like, hey, you're in this tournament. You got to check it out. And we started looking around, and it turned into a ton of fun. I'll let you speak
on it.
Well,
I'm just saying, Greg is our biggest fan on the planet, and he's been just a wonderful friend and confidant.
Mm-hmm.
And he really engaged us and said, hey, I can't believe it, but you guys are in this to win it.
I can't believe it, but you're, you know, it's I can believe it, because I had been to Alfonso's when it was in Maryville. That was yours. So your business has moved a few times.
Yes, it has.
But I had been to that one a lot in high school. Coming from Granite City, Wonderful. We would go up there and everybody knew about it. So, like I said, you had moved a few times and now you end up in Troy.
Yes. We'll be there 14 years in August. It's hard to imagine that we've been there that long already.
That's it's astounding. And it's been a successful business.
Well, we're blessed.
Thank you, God.
Yes, we're very blessed. We try to do the best every day. You know, been doing this since 1982, but every day is the first day.
Well, and I had never been to your place in Troy, Illinois. I still have it on my list. I need to go.
She doesn't go to Illinois.
Well, not often. I grew up like an hour from there.
That's true.
So I'm familiarizing myself with the Alfonsos, and I go to your website, and I just have to say, it's really hard to photograph food. I think it's hard. Mm-hmm. And I went to your website, and everything is so delicious. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this food looks so good. And if it looks good in pizza and pictures, you know it's good in real life, because the pizza, the salads, yes. They look artisanal. It's just, I can't wait to check it out. It looks delicious. I can see why you guys flew through the tournament.
Well, thank you for that. You're spot on about pictures. You
Isn't
know?
It so hard?
Oh, it's tough.
It is. You know, so
you can make something so beautiful with love. You know,
to stage the food photography. So you beautiful. Are spot on that. And we're very fortunate. Amber, Joe's fiance, is responsible for a lot of the pics that you see.
She runs a lot of our social media.
That's
but
awesome.
She
is
really fantastic. We got to say, first and foremost, about this whole competition, it's been so humbling, and it's been such a great experience.
Agreed.
But at the end of the day, we wake up every day. We try to make a positive impact in our community, bring the best we can to our community every day. But we would not be here without our incredible customers and staff. And that's what puts a smile on our face every day. It gets us out of bed to try to be better than we were the day before. And that's really what we get excited about. Is we develop a relationship. It's like a family relationship with our staff, yeah. Our customers. We have, the best guests in the world. They come in and they celebrate moments together with us, and we feel really fortunate to get to go through this life with them.
So you're doing a family thing here.
Generationally.
Yeah.
It's
so
really incredible.
Where did it start, and then how did you determine, Joe, that you wanted to follow? Because not everybody wants to do that. Maybe you wanted to do your own thing.
Well, I'm originally from Buffalo, New York, and I moved out here. My brother was already out here. He's a chiropractor. And he kept asking me, come out here, come out here, come out here. And I'm going, where are you? This was in 82,
Yeah.
So eventually, I was in Europe. I was in the Air Force for a while. And I came back and went to the CIA Culinary Institute. And I worked around Poughkeepsie, New York for a while. And then I moved back to Buffalo and worked at the Buffalo Hilton and Buffalo Marriott. And during that time, I was just thinking, it worked a lot. Hotel work is hard, back-to-back schedules and stuff. But, and then, he kept asking me. I came out and visited, and he says, maybe you come out here, get something going, So I did. I eventually made the trip out here and stayed out here, lived with him for a year, and developed a lot of the recipes. Thank God we have a lot of family recipes. Like you mentioned, the salad, my mom's mm-hmm. responsible for that. There's a lot of the sausage we use is my Grandpa Gino's sausage recipe. There's a lot of family influence in what we do and a lot of background, So, and then eventually it took me about a year to put everything together. And in 1982, we opened in that little strip mall in Maryville. And we were there about 12 years. And then there was a fun center down the street. Up the street from us, about a quarter mile, and they kept inviting me over to come move next to us, yeah. And we'll have a great family complex. And sure enough, I finally made the decision. We were there 12 years on 159, and then we moved up behind the hospital in 1993, and we were there 20 years. But that family vibe, to come, go-karts, bumper boats, mm-hmm. miniature golf, batting cages, the complex was really great. And then we moved to Troy
mm-hmm.
In 2013, and it seems like yesterday. Like I said, we'll be there 14 years.
Wow.
So in August, but Troy, as a matter of fact, when I moved to Troy, the mayor there used to work for us.
Oh, is that right?
Really?
He was 16, and when I, he's not the mayor anymore, but he welcomed us with open arms.
I'll let you know now. Awesome. that if you had ever in the past had a golf cart that was wrecked, I did not do it. It was not me.
Okay.
It was a go-kart. I'm sorry. It was not me. It was maybe somebody I knew. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah.
I think the statute of limitations is,
I think so.
Is ended
I think
on this, right?
You're,
on
so I'm you're totally in the clear.
Yeah.
So, Joe, when did you decide that you wanted to
you
take
know,
the business?
So, growing up, I always would love to go to work with my dad. I remember, like, my earliest memory, I was, like, a little kid trying to help a waitress, and I spilled, a Diet Coke on a nice woman. I felt so embarrassed, but I loved being hospitable. I loved to cook. I loved following my dad around. And, you know, the one thing I got to say, though, about my father here, he is the kindest and most positive person I've ever met. He wakes up. He's always got... you know, the biggest smile, he's got the best attitude, and that's how I really got into the industry. I've realized, you know, when you get to see, you know, someone enjoy a meal or make a memory together and get to be together with people they love, even though it may just be one lunch or one dinner to them, it's like, it's such a serious moment in that moment to make a nice impression mm-hmm. and positive impact, and that's what became my niche, and I said, you know, I want to do this for the rest of my life. I just truly love it, and it's just like a labor of love when you get to see someone enjoy something and be together.
It's not always easy to do that in the restaurant business because it can be very, very difficult.
It can. It definitely can. But it's like that struggle and that work is so worth it because you know what you have the opportunity to do. But I just can't emphasize enough. You got to earn it every day. You got to work hard for it every time. You got to keep trying your best. And that's part of the challenge too. And I think that's where I really got stuck in it because it's a great opportunity. You get to wake up and each day is a new opportunity to try to be your best and try to help uplift those around you and help them be their best.
You're right when you said every day you're starting over. A friend of mine owns a bar and grill out in Chesterfield, and he said he's proud of what he's built, but in the back of his mind, he's always thinking, I'm only as good as my last burger. Like, and how every day you want to put out.
Oh, yeah.
You can't rest on your laurels. Yeah. You've got to put out the best every day.
He says that all the time, and it's so true.
I verbalize that all the time. It's true. It's very true.
Well, obviously, your passion for it is shown not only in your food, but by your super loyal customer/guest base. I mean, they are passionate for you guys.
Oh, yeah. That was another really cool reminder. I mean, you know, we want to just try and do our best every day, but to get that little recognition and, you know, seeing people, hearing people in our dining room saying, did you see this? Check this out. I left a comment. And there were so many sweet things that were said. And that reminder, too, it's just so special and so sweet. And we truly cherish, you know,
we
everyone.
Really do. I can't tell you, Amy, how humbling that is. The lives that we've interacted with and touched, and they've touched our lives in a big way, generationally, Chris, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a wonderful thing.
We have a message from a listener who says, Joe with Alfonso is one of the most positive people I've ever met in my life. So glad they won. Mike did good creating this place. So people,
that's so sweet.
People
thank
love you
guys. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Another thing, too. I'm sorry to kind of jump around. Yeah. I wanted to shout out Matt, too. He's kind of behind the scenes back here, but he's bringing the energy back here today. He's awesome. But Chris and Amy, thank you all.
I'm trying to be the Joe of Came Away.
Hey, you are, bro. You're amazing.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
When are you going to start?
Right after this. Right.
We just want to say, man, we brought all three of you a sweatshirt.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay.
Great.
I saw your crew in the green sweatshirts, and I was like, should I ask
for
a sweatshirt?
If you guys, I don't know if you're 21. I think you are, but we got some nice Italian wine for you all, too.
Oh,
so.
My gosh.
Well, you guys are unbelievable.
You guys,
I just want everybody
really
to know this is not why we invited you.
No. It's just our treat.
So that you
it's
bring Italian us free tradition. Stuff. But we will take free stuff.
I love it.
Awesome.
You have it's no idea how excited I am. I'm like equally as excited about the food and the sweatshirt.
That's right.
Like this
that's
is, awesome. Oh my gosh.
I'll tell you
what. You guys
what.
Are amazing.
Well, thank you all,
well,
too.
I hope it's good because we're only as good as today.
That's right.
Well, yes. Thank you. Well,
and I did want to say, too, if you don't mind, the Carrollton location, we have not been there yet, but we can't wait to check them out. Yeah. We got to see a lot of really passionate, good comments about them. So, you know, if you're in that area, please go check them out.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it was really fun. There's plenty of love to go around. And I will say, too, anybody in the restaurant, pizza, Italian industry, it's a labor of love. It's so much hard work, and it's so worth it. But we're all friends. We're all trying to get along, and it's all love from here. So that was another thing I wanted to say. And my favorite line he says is about what you say about a pizza.
What? I never met a pizza I didn't like, but I have my favorites.
I love it.
So cool.
But point in fact, Joe, about Carrollton, everybody, you know, they'll come in. I just, you know, you didn't know about them, and I didn't know about them for the longest time. And customers would come in and say, oh, you got another place open, you know, in Carrollton. And I'm going, no, it's not us. I heard about this through my customers and say, we're different companies, but I heard that their pizza's very, very good. We've never been there yet, but that's how I first heard about them.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, really awesome.
We should probably do an Alfonso's bus trip. We'll stop at one.
Yeah.
We'll have some food. We'll go to the other one.
Well, there's the Cardinals caravan. We could have
an Alfonso's caravan.
We'll do an Alfonso's caravan.
Let's do it.
Okay, I didn't ask because Mike and Joe, if you mentioned this, I apologize. The name Alfonso's from?
My great uncle Alfred.
Your great uncle Alfred.
I had a wonderful opportunity to be, I was in the Air Force and I got an assignment to Naples, Italy. And it was just an incredible, I had to pinch myself. I'm going to Naples. So while I was there, I worked for a three-star general over there, as a matter of fact. He was the commander of Allied Air Forces of Southern Europe. And if there was going to be any action in Southern Europe air-wise, he was the commander. He was quite a guy. And I worked for him and Mrs. Wilson. And I did that for the 3 years I was there, but the first 6 months I got there, I was talking to my mom, and she says, you know, your great-uncle Angelo and Maria is going to be up in Foligno, where our family is from. And Maria was only 12 years old. I didn't speak Italian. My mom spoke it, but I didn't learn Italian. And she says, now's the time for you to go up there because you'll have a translator with Maria there. So I went up to visit my family up in Foligno. And that's when I met my great uncle Alfred, and he took me out in the garden, and he's showing me his figs and everything. I never had a fresh fig off a tree in my life. Absolutely fantastic. So my great aunt Misia is in the kitchen, no bigger than this space right here. Yeah. And she's making homemade pasta, homemade sauce. And my great uncle Alfred had his wine that he used to make, you know, himself. And we had a most wonderful lunch in this little kitchen. And eventually, when I came back to America and everything, and we decided to open up the restaurant, of course we wanted to name it. So back then, there was no internet, and the alphabet was very important. So we wanted to begin with an A,
yeah.
Right, for listing.
Oh, for the Yellow Pages.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we
participated. That's good thinking.
We did. So we're going through all these names and all these names. And, you know, I was going to name it after my mom, which Jojo. And then I was going to name it Village Pizza after Maryville. But that's a V, you know. So we kept looking for a name. And I thought about my great uncle Alfred. And I didn't want to say Alfredo's because of the pasta sauce and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And somehow Alfonso's rolled off into that.
Perfect.
It worked. It's perfect.
Perfect.
You did a family business, and you guys are just killing it.
Yep. Well,
it's awesome.
Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for inviting us. This is very special to us, guys.
Total treat. Absolutely.
Yes, big treat.
Mike and Joe Pellucci with Alfonso's in Troy, Illinois. Go check them out. They're very, very cool people. We appreciate you coming in, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
You too,
very,
guys.
Very
thank
much.
You, Chris and Amy.
Matt Pajeski, our producer, just made the observation that if we had Mike and Joe Pellucci in the same room with Pops and Jeff Bailey,
the
positivity would create some sort of like black hole because those
world
are the four
just implode.
Just the nicest people.
You know, when people, they're the nicest people ever. Okay. And then you meet Mike and Joe and you realize, oh my gosh, I think these really are the nicest people I've ever met.
This is not a put on.
And then Pops and Jeff Bailey?
Yes.
That's from
the Amazing Race.
Yes. Mm-hmm. St. Louisans on The Amazing Race. You're right. Something, the universe would stop or the world would implode because it's so much niceness and positivity.
What if I just started being like those guys?
Oh.
First of all,
what if
impossible.
It's totally impossible, but... Yeah. I always wonder how you can be that positive. I wish I had it.
Well, we have a we have a long way to go. We're going to work on it. We do have a message on YouTube. So glad I got to see the pizza segment. What uplifting attitudes from both of them. And a shout out to their namesake competitors, Classy.
Yeah, totally.
Saying, hey, the more the merrier. Alfonso's in Carrollton, Alfonso's in Troy. I honestly think these might be the nicest people I've ever met.
It's unbelievable.
And the food. And we got sweatshirts. And yeah, they brought us wine.
They really took care of us.
Oh, my nice gosh. People. Amazing. How fun is this?
I know. It's great.
I would like, I would just, yeah.
But I appreciate
an ounce of their positivity.
The philosophy of of if everybody does well, if there's another restaurant out there doing well, we're going to do well too, right?
Yeah. Yep.
There's competition, certainly, but there's something about all, you know, the tide rising all ships, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot to that.
And don't you think Mike definitely has a lot of stories?
Oh, for sure he does.
That's incredible. Family right. business, love it.
Anything you missed, it's on the Odyssey app. Download it or KMOX.com. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 9 o'clock, the Chris and Amy Show. But coming up next, it is the Gas House Gang. We'll talk some Cardinals and some Blues, and all of that is next on KMOX.